News Radio 710 Cairo, KIRO, Seattle.
Good morning, good evening. This is the Lou Pate Show. Rise and shine. We're talking reincarnation here for a second hour. Stephen Sakellarios, our special guest and authority, a film producer on the subject of reincarnation. His film is called In Another Life, and it's available on his website at www.ial.goldthread.com. If you're just joining us, a quick summary. We talked about, well, reincarnation, Eastern culture versus Western culture, and how they are merging. Belief in America, approximately 1 in 4 believe in reincarnation. The number is higher of those probably afraid to talk about it in public. The situation of reincarnation and how karma plays a role. Old souls versus new souls. And some case studies that Mr. Sakellarios has provided us with. We even covered the skeptics and how science has played a role. And as we head forward, we welcome back Stephen Sakellarios in reference to his film and also his website and his expertise on reincarnation. Now, Mr. Sakellarios, as we came into the second hour here, you mentioned a gentleman by the name of, you were talking about a gentleman by the name of Wolger. I believe it's something you get to interview people that's in part of your film. What was that dealing with?
Well, Dr. Wolger is a Jungian therapist, and he got interested in this whole idea of past lives. There's an interview with him about his history of getting into the business on my website as well. But I, as part of interviewing with him, I was asked, and, you know, I said, throw me into that briar patch, as they say here in the South. You know, he told me I would have to attend one of his week-long workshops, which I did. But I wanted to say that there's basically two kinds of past life therapy. One uses hypnosis, and one does not. So his version does not.
I'm sorry to interrupt. When you say his workshops, what do his workshops consist of?
The workshops, in this particular case, I think the different ones focus on different things, but he'll teach his technique. These people were all, I think, therapists of one type or another. I had a master's in counseling, so I was able to do that. And he'll give lectures, and he'll give demonstrations, and then people will practice basically on each other. That was what the one I attended consisted of.
And we were talking earlier about, you know, reincarnation and how we're all going round and round, you know, thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times, possibly millions of times over the course of history. How come people don't remember this? I mean, some do, some don't. You say it's very apparent in children, but how come there's not more knowledge of this in just everyday adults? Why do you think that is? Why do we lose it, so to speak?
Well, there's a natural barrier in place, because if we remembered all these lives, two things would happen. One, we'd be swamped and confused, because as is pointed out in my documentary by one of the interviewees, our lives tend to bounce back and forth between opposites. In a new life, certain things, apparently, from what I can tell, will be the same. It's like a repeating movie, but certain things will be opposite. For example, we might be a woman instead of a man, or, you know, poor instead of rich. Or a few selected things will be like the opposite of whatever they were. And that's because life is set up in opposites, in dichotomies. And so we have to experience both sides of things in order to get a well-rounded picture to increase our character and to increase our wisdom. So if we had all these opposite things come at us all at once and we remembered all of this stuff, it'd be very confusing. It would also be confusing with regard to our personal relationships, because we change roles. You know, if you understood that your wife was an enemy, or that your child was a spouse, or, you know, these kind of things, it'd get very confusing.
Aren't all wives technically the enemy?
Well, some are.
Or is that is that just women in general?
I'm not going there. Although I tell you, I was telling somebody that years and years ago, somebody told me a theory about women. This is one of those things that gets passed along in the men's hut, you know.
Okay.
He said women are like a pie, and if you don't like the slice you're on, you just move to another slice that you like. But this is really true of all of us, because all of us have the influences of all of these different past lives, some of which are opposite from the others. So people are not this one. I mean, we've sort of kind of stitched it all together to form a personality, but there's a lot of different elements, and these elements represent whole, complete past lives. See, you know, in other words, when you're when the part of you that comes out that's, you know, very fun-loving, I understand you ride a Harley, you know, so if you're out there riding a Harley, maybe there was a whole lifetime where you were out as a Mongolian riding a horse, you know, who knows? I don't know. But that aspect of you, that side of you, would represent a whole life. And then there might be another side of you that's here, you know, talking to, you know, hundreds and thousands of people. And maybe you did something like that once, too. You know, or an orator or something somewhere.
Now, have you seen any evidence that suggests an ecological basis for reincarnation, kind of, for lack of a better term, could it be more like a physical recycling, if you will?
Yeah, in a sense. It's the same principles. I mean, everything is circular. You know, cycles, all of nature goes in cycles. And so you find those cycles in the environment, and you find them in people as well. But I would say the environmental perspective has made it easier to understand reincarnation.
What about as far as evolution? Could reincarnation be tied to evolution?
It is, absolutely. And this gets into the Eastern side of things, the teachings, more than the Western. We really haven't gone there in the West. We're looking at past life therapy. And past life therapy, by the way, I didn't mention, an awful lot of it is based on traumas. It's like post-traumatic stress syndrome, like shell shock, but shell shock where the shock came from in a previous life.
We're not very patient in the West. We don't want to go through the proper steps. We want to go straight to the end and find out what the deal is.
Right, and that's a good point, because these past life memories will start to naturally surface when a person develops to a certain level in terms of their character and their spiritual development.
Now, if we can, I just want to backtrack for those who are just joining us in for the 4 o'clock hour, which is actually the second hour of our interview. Could you please tell people who Carol Bowman was and how her work has affected your research and how it applies to your film In Another Life?
Right. Carol Bowman took Dr. Ian Stevenson's research in places like India and the Middle East and with the Eskimos and various other places, but primarily India and the Middle East. Took that research where he was really proving, in my opinion, he doesn't call it that, but I would say he proved that these very specific memories the children were having were historically based, were actual, you know, people. And she applied that to our culture and said, I wonder if the same thing is happening with our children. And what she found is that, for the most part, the children don't come up with as many specific details. But some of them do, and she found that it's all over the place, that most, if not all, of our children are having past life memories at some point up to about the age of 7. And she documented this and introduced the whole subject, really, to the...
Now, someone's going to see their child, as you mentioned, children all often make statements about things that don't fit. As you said, they'll talk about when they were big, or the little boy... talking about a World War II fighter plane. Aren't parents, the Joe and Jane Main Street parents, are they just going to think that their child's a freak if they're not familiar with reincarnation or don't believe in it or don't want to believe that it applies to them and their family?
Well, most of the time, these cases come to light when the parents have studied reincarnation a little bit and they take the child seriously. Otherwise, mostly it's just dismissed as fantasy. However, I did want to, this is a good time to bring this up. Carol came up with what she calls 4 signs, which are ways of knowing whether what the child is saying may be a past life memory or if it's just a fantasy. So I want to go over those real quick if we have
time. Sure, yeah, sure.
It's real brief. The first one is called, she says, matter-of-fact tone. And what she found was that when these children are expressing a past life memory, it's very matter-of-fact. It's not in a fantasy kind of a context. They're just reporting, basically.
And this is not the imaginary friend, though.
Right.
Okay.
Now, imaginary friend, that's another story. That could be actually somebody, but that's another subject. The second sign is consistency over time, which means that they come up with the same information, same details over and over. You know, they might, you know, 3 weeks later, they might start talking about it, and it's exactly the same details as they said before. Like this little boy with the fighter plane, you know, he didn't start talking about ships or... you know, other kinds of planes. It was always a Corsair, and it was always, you know, the details were the same.
Right.
And then knowledge beyond experience is the third sign. And again, like the little boy that said, that's not a bomb under there, that's a drop
tank. That's a drop tank.
So this kind of thing happens when they start, or Carol Bowman's son, when he starts drawing historically accurate drawings of Civil War cannons and wagons and things, you know, at age 3 or however old he was. And the fourth one is corresponding behaviors and traits. And this a lot of time gets into things like fears, irrational fears and phobias that a person may have, and it turns out that they dovetail perfectly with the past life memory. In other words, what seems irrational, what seems like an irrational fear to us now, is completely rational if you put the past life in context.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then there's physical symptoms. One of Carol's cases has a little boy. This was showcased on one of the television shows as well, documentaries, not mine. But he had a lump developing, a tumor developing in his throat. And his father was a doctor and knew what kind it was. And he said, man, these have to be operated on. And right when he was about ready to go into surgery, he was talking about his shot, maybe earlier too, but he was talking about his shot, and they thought he meant like a hypodermic shot. And it was a shot when he was big, when he was apparently in World War I, I think it was, and he was shot from behind in the neck. See, and when he had that memory, that tumor went away. So we have these physical effects from remembering.
Is there a healing quality there?
Yeah, and these things happen, and this apparently is common, and this kind of therapy can basically affect a cure for some of these phobias in one or two sessions, things that people have been fighting for years and years and years and years. When they finally relive these traumatic events from a past life, their symptoms just disappear.
Okay, Stephen Sakellarios, if you could please hold, we're going to take a break here. And our special guest is, as I just said, Stephen Sakellarios. He's an authority film producer, the subject of reincarnation. We're going to be taking your phone calls in a little bit, 877-710-CHIRO. And his film is called In Another Life. His website, www.ial.goldthread.com. And if you missed that, well, I'll give it out a little later, but also we're posting it on the website. This is the Lou Page Show.
It comes only once a year, and it's here this weekend. Do not miss the Spring Best of the Northwest Fine Arts and Crafts Show and Sale. 3 days only, this Friday through Sunday, the 15th through 17th, at Seattle's Magnuson Park on Sandpoint Way Northeast. There's plenty of free parking and great food and entertainment. 240 of the Northwest premier artists and craftspeople invite you to see stunning new works in metal, glass, wood, mixed media, and jewelry. Find original paintings in watercolors and oils, and bold new works in photography, fiber arts, basketry, and wearable art. All works are available for purchase. And enter to win a free original bronze sculpture by internationally acclaimed Northwest artist Georgia Gerber, valued at $3,400. Hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. Admission is just $6. Kids under 12 get in free. For directions, check online at bestnwcrafts.com. The year's most anticipated fine arts and crafts show, this Friday through Sunday, April 15th through 17th, at Seattle's Magnuson Park. The best of the Northwest.
For $389 installed vinyl replacement windows, call Champion at 888-3131-006. Hi, this is Jim from Champion. Call us today at 888-3131-006 to see how easy it is to get our top quality vinyl replacement windows installed by us with a lifetime guarantee. And to learn about our $389 vinyl replacement windows, call Champion today.
888-3131-006.
150 Cadillacs at spring sale prices now. McCann Cadillac, the family on the freeway in Fife, has the right luxury or sports car at the very best price right now. You choose CTS, Eldorado, XLR convertible, or the all-new STS, or maybe Escalade, Escalade ESV, or EXT pickup. It doesn't matter what you're looking for. With over 150 in stock at McCann Cadillac Hummer Saab, you'll find the right look and the best price. And you don't have to sacrifice power for mileage. The new Cadillac STS gets up to 25 miles per gallon on the highway and still offers 260 adrenaline pumping horsepower to leave the competition behind. You name it, McCann has it. Cadillac, Hummer, Saab, and a huge premium pre-owned inventory. You have to visit McCann Motors off I-5 exit 137 in Fife for the largest selection of Cadillacs and Hummers in the state at the very best price. Breakthrough at McCann, Washington's Cadillac dealer for 46 years. McCann, Cadillac, Hummer, Saab, the family on the freeway in Fife.
Have you noticed Notice the change in the weather? The days are longer and the temperature warmer. The changing season means one of the busiest maintenance times of the year, spring cleaning. This spring, call Pacific Topsoils. Pacific Topsoils recycles leaves, branches, garden dirt, stumps, shrubs, and yard waste. You can't exactly put big amounts of dirt or yard waste in the garbage or the household recycling bin, but you can take it to one of the Pacific Topsoils' several locations. Say you don't have a truck or time to haul it? Then have Pacific Topsoils deliver a large container for you to place all your yard waste. It's fast and easy. Pacific Topsoils will recycle it into a usable, environmentally friendly material. Pacific Topsoils also recycles clean concrete, asphalt, lumber, and pallets. Call for prices and accepted materials. Before you pick up the shovel, pick up the phone and call Pacific Topsoils. Complete commercial and residential landscape materials since 1978. PacificTopsoils.com or call 800-884-7645. Again, 800-884-7645.
If you're paying more than 4% on your mortgage, you're paying too much. Why not say yes to a new lower rate from American Equity Mortgage?
I think it's time to refinance. Can you help me?
Yes, American Equity Mortgage can help you get a new low rate today. Get loan approval in just hours and close as fast as 1 week.
I don't remember what I'm paying. Is it worth the call?
Yes, today's low rates make now the perfect time to call American Equity Mortgage at 425-889-9699. We can save you hundreds of dollars every month with perfect or less than perfect credit. If you're paying more than 4%, say yes.
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 To a new lower rate from American Equity Mortgage, and we'll say yes to you. Call today, 425-889-9699. American Equity Mortgage, open till 8, 425-889-9699, or apply online at AmericanEquity.com.
You're listening to Lou Pate on News Radio 710 Cairo, KIRO.
KIRO, this is the Lou Pate Show. If you're just joining us, rise and shine. We're talking about reincarnation with our special guest, Stephen Sakellarios. His film, In Another Life, is broadcast on PBS, but it's available on his website as well, www.ial.goldthread.com. Stephen, we're going to take a few phone calls in just a bit, but now I'm not a practicing Christian, although I was raised Roman Catholic, and you're not a Christian either. But the whole issue of reincarnation in Christianity, what's the connection there, and how does the church look at it today?
Well, I would first of all say there really is no such thing as the church, in my opinion.
There's, if only that were true.
You know, there's a lot of different branches and
Okay.
In that sense, I mean, you know, it would be hard to say that the church has this, you know, there are Christians who believe in reincarnation. I know that much.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there are some who feel that it is of the devil, and then there are others who are somewhere in between or maybe don't pay a lot of attention to it or don't take it seriously. I would imagine it kind of runs the gamut.
I look at the church as being, if we can't make money off of it, it doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, reincarnation tends to put the responsibility squarely on the individual and to make the organization, largely irrelevant. So it's not real popular among organizations that want to retain control.
And a lot of churches, whichever branch you're talking about, a lot of them have to, the religion has to do with control.
Right. So it's not politically advantageous.
Now, is this something, the interest in reincarnation or things such as your film In Another Life, is it gaining popularity? We mentioned earlier 1 in 4 Americans believe. Is it something that's gaining popularity? Because I remember when I was a kid, and I'm dating myself, I think it was around 1975, there was a movie called The Reincarnation of Peter Proud.
Right.
You remember that offhand?
I've never seen it, but I know of it, yeah.
And it didn't, the whole, I don't know how the movie did at the box office, but the whole reincarnation thing really didn't catch on. You know how everything today is so trendy. It really didn't catch on. Is there a new wave we're experiencing here?
I think we're on the verge of one. I don't think it's really hit yet. People like Carol Bowman are doing the groundwork And when it hits, I think it's going to be big. I kind of compare it to stereo 3D movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stereo has been around since the late 1800s. They had, you know, they had stereo photographs you could buy of the Grand Canyon and, you know,
right.
view them and so on. It's never caught. Star Wars is now coming out with a 3D movie, I believe. And at some point, I think it's gonna catch.
But now,
and
now,
I think
but
reincarnation
look what happens.
Is like that.
Now, you've dealt, and we spoke about this earlier, we dealt with skeptics and cynics and, you know, other scoffers. Look at, like, Shirley MacLaine and the criticism and the late-night TV jokes that she's had to endure ever since coming forward. Is that why I think people stay silent about it?
Yeah, well, I'm sure. And like I said, there's practical implications because, you know, I'm self-employed, so it doesn't bother me that much, but I'm a little hesitant to, you know, to mention it among certain clients and so on. But if you're working at a place, it can, I think it can affect your career, you know, to come out with that.
Oh, without a doubt. If yeah. you're working in one of the glass towers for a corporation and you have your office or your cubicle and you want to alienate everybody... Or meet the freaky chick in the office.
Yeah,
you can bring this up.
Unless you're at the top, you know.
Well, then they'll use it as an excuse to knock you down.
Possible, yeah. It's even risky there. So I think there's some practical aspects to it. I basically am beholden to no one. I have a little video production company, and I freelance. And even there, I end up freelancing for the people that apparently it doesn't bother, you know. But, yeah, I do think there's practical reasons why people just say, well... You know, I'll wait till I get to know this person before I tell them something. Let me tell you something interesting. Before I started on this documentary, this isn't directly reincarnation, but it's similar. I had a little office when I started my company, and this fellow, this old kind of crusty World War II vet that wore his hat from the carrier that he'd, you know, served on.
Okay, that's hardcore.
It was cleaning the place, and he would tell you his war stories. So he kind of cornered me once, and I thought, all right, you know, I just couldn't just, you know, blow the guy off. So we listened, and it was kind of interesting, and he went on and on and on and on and on for about half an hour, and then he stopped, and he paused. And then out of this guy's mouth comes this story about the night that his mother died. He was sitting on the back porch of his house looking out over the field, and he saw her spirit out there. Now, this is not the guy I expected to hear a paranormal story from.
Yeah, a hardcore, old, crusty World War vet.
But it took him a half an hour telling me his war stories before he felt like I was a good enough guy and he could trust me with this other thing.
Okay.
So I think that's what we're up against with a lot of these experiences.
That is interesting. You got to find a comfort zone.
Yeah.
I have a term here. I'd like to... What is... Do you know what was... And if I'm not pronouncing it right, feel free to correct me. Xenoglossy?
Xenoglossy, that's correct.
What is that?
That is when people start to speak in a language that they have no business speaking in. And it can, and very often does, come from a past life. And it's rare, but it does happen, and there's some documented cases. Dr. Stevenson has documented some cases on it. I haven't seen it happen in front of me, but I've run across a few little examples, which I have on the front of my website.
Do they have to be in a hypnotic state or anything like that?
Not necessarily. They can be children. Like one little boy he's a little English boy, if I remember correctly, and he was speaking these words that they thought were nonsense words, and a friend of theirs came over, and he said, he's speaking perfect Greek. It's all nonsense words.
Of all languages.
Yeah.
One of the most difficult. Okay, Stephen Sakellaris, we have to take a break here, check in with traffic, but I want to get your website out there again. Very interesting. Your film, In Another Life, can be purchased off the website. It has appeared on PBS. And Stephen Sakellaris is our guest, and for those just joining us, also an authority film producer on the subject of which we're discussing here, reincarnation, on The Lou Pate Show.
You're listening to Lou Pate on News Radio 710 Cairo, KIRO.
As we make our way to the top of the hour, this is The Lou Pate Show. We're talking reincarnation. Our special guest, Stephen Sakellaris. 30 years plus experience studying reincarnation, and it can be found in his film In Another Life, which is available on his website at www.ial.goldthread.com. We have that up on our website on my page if you didn't catch it, and I'll give it out obviously a few more times before the end of the show. We also have Carol Bowman's website link on our site as well, and that is www.childpastlives.org. Now, Stephen, we were talking a lot about children tonight and how children are aware of previous lives, and a lot of it might just be cast off as the gibberish of children because we as ignorant adults don't understand when once we lose our innocence. How reliable is the process of memory recovery once we become adults to harken back to when we were a child or to a previous life?
Apparently, from what I gather, the memories that come through the most clearly and the most accurately are the ones that have an emotional charge. So the most likely thing you're going to run across is something related to a previous life death. That's the most common thing that comes across for adults. And again, it can be tied to a phobia. Somebody's desperately afraid of falling or something. And, then under hypnosis or with Dr. Wolger's non-hypnotic method, they'll relive actually having fallen off a cliff or something. And once they relive that experience in living color and with all the emotions, then the fear goes away.
Can it be a positive emotion?
It absolutely can. And in my documentary, I purposely interviewed two people who had these kind of flashbacks. One was positive. It was a wedding in India when there was elephants and all kinds of, ceremony and so on going on. And the other fellow was Jeffrey Keane, who experienced being in the Battle of Antietam.
So
it can be either way. It's just intense. The emotional intensity is the ticket.
And your research has found that people here in the United States are getting more into the concept of reincarnation and what it entails. And people in the East, well, they're into it as well, but they also like their Gap and Big Macs as well. Not as spiritual, not as much into the reincarnation as you thought.
Well, now here's the interesting thing. From what I understand, people are that have spent several lifetimes in the West are incarnating in the East and vice versa. So it's not just the culture that's transferring; it's the actual people that are transferring.
A little variety as we travel across the centuries.
Yeah, and that's typical. People get it's a well-rounded experience is what reincarnation is after.
So, Stephen, are you down to take some phone calls here on the Loop Page?
Oh yeah, let's go.
Okay, let's bring Peter from Enumclaw. How you doing, Peter?
Hey, Lou. Hi, Stephen, and hi, Gary.
Hey, Peter.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. I want to bring up a kind of historical fact this evening. Today's the 93rd anniversary of the Titanic sinking.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have sank a little over 2 hours and 20 minutes ago in actual time there in 1912, but my thoughts is that I don't know if I went down on the Titanic or not, but I remember looking down a stairwell and seeing water with it was a green tint to the light. And then I woke up in the past having a hard time breathing, waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had ever run into anybody who thought they had gone down with the Titanic.
There are a few, and I would suggest Carol Bowman's website, which they've given the URL for, has a forum, a moderated bulletin board, which is very well designed. And I would suggest posting on there, and you will find a few people, one or two anyway, I believe, that have had memories like that.
And Peter, that's www.childpastlives.org.
Okay.
And the other thing I wanted to mention about your memory is that detail about it being greenish, this is what gets interesting. When people pick up on some little detail and then they research it, and very often the experts will say, no, that wasn't true, and then somebody will research it further and find out, oh, yeah, it was green. Pay attention to those little details.
Yeah, because I'll always remember looking down a stairwell and the water had a greenish tint to it, almost a ghostly tint to it, like a not like a fog, but like if you had a filter lens. And I remember that very distinctly. And then the other thing is waking, I'll be sleeping, and all of a sudden I'll wake up, and it's like I'm gasping for breath.
So did this come to you, were you dreaming when this came to you?
No, not when I'm dreaming. I'm not having a dream of it at the time. I'll wake up, and it's like I'm gasping for breath.
Yeah, but I mean the memory. The
memory of, yes, and yeah. It always comes around the anniversary time.
Okay, that's another clue. And you've had this several times?
In fact, just a couple days ago, and, you know, today's the 93rd anniversary.
Now, that's another typical thing, that anniversary dates appear to trigger some of these things.
And the funny thing is, just
being the same age sometimes will trigger it.
Right, and the funny thing about it is that no one's talked about the Titanic in the media this week.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
No, I've been a Titanic fan, of course. I'm a member of the Titanic Historical Society for 30 years this year. And, I mean, I do have a knowledge, and I did know that it was the anniversary this week. I don't know, maybe subconsciously I was thinking about it. And
I think people are thinking about that. No offense, Peter. I think people are thinking about their taxes.
That, too. And also, it was Lincoln's assassination this
week. Yeah, you're just worried about Uncle. They're worried about Uncle Sam and this current life today. Tomorrow they could worry about yesterday. But all kidding aside, Stephen, Peter brings up an interesting point, the Titanic. And in the first hour, you had given the analogy of, you know, the energy of life kind of, it was an, you know, the water turns into an iceberg, and it's still water, it's still there, it hasn't gone anywhere, it's just changed forms. And that's the analogy of death we gave. And I was talking about no heaven, no hell, but swirling energy. What happens in something like that when we have, I'm not exactly sure of how many died, I think it was somewhere about 1700 or 1800.
1502.
1502, thank you, Peter. I mean, what happens when huge tragedies across history have happened like that, with earthquakes, Titanic, you know, things, a tsunami we just had December 26th, what happens then?
Well, it's basically the same thing as always happens, and this is just from what I've read, I haven't experienced it, but I understand that when somebody dies suddenly, traumatically, that they leave their body, they find themselves floating above their body and looking down, or something along that line.
You hear about that in hospitals a lot.
Right. So it's the same sort of thing. They're thrust out of their body. They're still conscious. They're looking down. They're floating there, and they're confused. They may not believe that they're dead yet. They may not be able to accept it. And what happens is that people from the other side, from the astral plane, will come to help them, to kind of orient them and you know, break the news to them, basically.
So you have to put them through a heavenly orientation.
Exactly.
All right, hold on, please.
There's one more.
Hold on there, Peter. We have to go take a break. Our special guest is Stephen Sakellarios. His website, www.ial.goldthread.com. He's an authority and a film producer, and the film is In Another Life. The subject, reincarnation, here on The Lou Page Show.
You're listening to Lou Pate on News Radio 710 Cairo, KIRO.
Making our way to the top of the hour, this is The Lou Pate Show, 710 Cairo. Peter Sakellarios is our special guest discussing reincarnation. He's an authority, 30-plus years experience studying the...
I'll be sleeping, and all of a sudden I'll wake up, and it's like I'm gasping for breath.
So did this come to you, were you dreaming when this came to you?
No, not when I'm dreaming. I'm not having a dream of it at the time. I'll wake up, and it's like I'm gasping for breath.
Yeah, but I mean the memory, the...
The memory of, yes, and yeah. It always comes around the anniversary time.
Okay, that's another clue. And you've had this several times?
In fact, just a couple days ago. And, you know, today's the 93rd anniversary.
Now, that's another typical thing, that anniversary dates appear to trigger some of these things.
And the funny thing is, just
being the same age sometimes will trigger it.
Right, and the funny thing about it is that no one's talked about the Titanic in the media this week.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
No, I've been a Titanic fan, of course. I'm a member of Titanic Historical Society for 30 years this year. And, I mean, I do have a knowledge, and I did know that it was the anniversary this week. I don't know, maybe subconsciously I was thinking about it. And
I think people are thinking about that. No offense, Peter. I think people are thinking about their taxes.
That too, and also it was Lincoln's assassination this
week. Yeah,
day.
You're just worried about Uncle. They're worried about Uncle Sam and this current life today, tomorrow. Tomorrow they could worry about yesterday. But all kidding aside, Stephen, Peter brings up an interesting point: the Titanic. And in the first hour, you had given the analogy of, you know, the energy of life kind of. The water turns into an iceberg, and it's still water. It's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's just changed forms. And that's the analogy of death we gave. And I was talking about no heaven, no hell, but swirling energy. What happens in something like that when we have, I'm not exactly sure of how many died. I think it was somewhere about 1,700 or 1,800.
1,502.
1,502. Thank you, Peter. I mean, what happens when huge tragedies across history have happened like that, with earthquakes, Titanic, you know, things, a tsunami we just had December 26th. What happens then?
Well, it's basically the same thing as always happens. And this is just from what I've read. I haven't experienced it. But I understand that when somebody dies suddenly, traumatically, that they leave their body, they find themselves floating above their body and looking down or something along that line.
You hear about that in hospitals a lot.
Right. So it's the same sort of thing. They're thrust out of their body. They're still conscious. They're looking down. They're floating there, and they're confused. They may not believe that they're dead yet. They may not be able to accept it. And what happens is that people from the other side, from the astral plane, will come to help them, to kind of orient them and you know, break the news to them, basically.
So you have to put them through a heavenly orientation.
Exactly.
All right, hold on, please.
There's one more.
Hold on there, Peter. We have to go take a break. Our special guest is Stephen Sakellarios. His website, www.ial.goldthread.com. He's an authority and a film producer, and the film is In Another Life. The subject, reincarnation, here on The Lou Page Show.
You're listening to Lou Pate on News Radio 710 Cairo, KIRO.
Making our way to the top of the hour, this is The Lou Pate Show. 710 Cairo. Peter Sakellarios is our special guest discussing reincarnation. He's an authority, 30 plus years experience studying the phenomenon. His film is called In Another Life. His website, it's on our website as well on my page, but I'll give it to you here. www.ial.goldthread.com. Now, Stephen, can you tell when someone's faking it? Can you tell when someone's weaving a tale or just trying to get a little attention or publicity, and when people are legitimately just speaking about past life experiences?
Sometimes, you know, not 100% for sure. I mean, enough of these things check out historically that you can really apply objective criteria to them. But you get a sense of it after a while.
And now you don't you know, give social commentaries, but on your website you did mention the Schiavo case. Why does that come up? And out of all of the things out there, what's your view on that?
Well, first of all, reincarnation is the whole cycle, the whole process. It's dying. It's going to the astral plane, unless you're very unfortunate and get stuck near here, and then it's reincarnating and being born again. And so it's that whole. When I talk about reincarnation, I'm talking about the whole process. So here we have somebody that's at the end of the process, but she's stuck. She's somehow gotten stuck at the end of the process. But
you mean her vegetative state?
Right, but the point is that a person is not their body, first and foremost. The person is, again, layers of an onion. But for the purpose of convenience, we can say we can identify a person as their astral body, which is made of light and energy. Okay, and your astral body is right now animating your physical body, or it would be a piece of meat sitting there. It'd be a corpse. What the difference between your physical body being alive as you know it and it being a corpse is that the astral body is enlivening it. So this person's brain is not functioning properly. And the brain is an instrument which interfaces between the two levels. Okay, it's not the mind, but that's the organ through which the mind interfaces with the physical world, what I call a pass-through mechanism. So when the pass-through mechanism is damaged, the person cannot get through it. Now, when somebody is fully identified experientially in their experience with the physical body, they have to obey. Their experience has to conform to the state of the body. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so long as you're fully identified with it. When you get out of it, then you're not constrained by the state of the physical body. So whenever Terry Schiavo was in her physical body, she could only relate to people through that damaged brain. When she presumably got out of it, she was able to look down and was clear. This is my interpretation of this thing. I see her as being in and out, in and out. And she was never a vegetable at any point. You know, only her body was vegetative to some degree, to increasing degree, apparently. When she first started, apparently she was able to say some words, and
right.
It got worse. So, but this person apparently was hanging around, and, you know, I would guess that she was hanging around because her parents wouldn't let go. Otherwise, she would have left, and it wouldn't have been an issue. Which is not, I mean, it's just, you know, we love people, and we want to hang on to them. But the idea of starving her to death or letting her die of thirst, you know, when she's, you know, either in or out, hopefully, for her sake, I hope she stayed out during that period, you know, if she had control over it, which I don't know the extent.
I hope for her sake she did.
But it made me very nervous, the idea of starving a person to death, assuming that they were a vegetable because we identify her with her physical body.
You know, regardless of anybody's beliefs, religious or political, it just, yeah, that was not a good thing, starving her to death.
I mean, either euthanize her or keep her, one of the
Right. We could talk about that for a whole nother show. But Stephen Sakellaris, I want to thank you once again for being on the show in this extended time on reincarnation. Please hold. Don't go away. I want to get your website out there one more time. The film is called In Another Life. It's available on the website, www.ial.goldthread.com. And that'll be on my page on the website, too, also with Carol Bowman's website, which is www.childpastlives.org, and she was a big inspiration on the work of Stephen. But Stephen, thank you again. Gary Mance, what can one say for what you've been bringing to this show? You enjoy the weekend. Well deserved. Excellent job as always. This is the Lou Pate Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Lou Pate on News Radio 710 Cairo, KIRO.
Making our way to the top of the hour, this is the Lou Pate Show. 710 Cairo. Peter Sakellaris is our special guest discussing reincarnation. He's an authority, 30-plus years experience studying the phenomenon. His film is called In Another Life. His website, it's on our website as well on my page, but I'll give it to you here, www.ial.goldthread.com. Now, Stephen, can you tell when someone's faking it? Can you tell when someone's weaving a tale or just trying to get a little attention or publicity and when people are legitimately just speaking about past life experiences?
Sometimes. You know, not 100% for sure. I mean, enough of these things check out historically that you can really apply objective criteria to them. But you get a sense of it after a while.
And now you don't give social commentaries, but on your website you did mention the Schiavo case. Why does that come up? And out of all of the things out there, what's your view on that?
Well, first of all, reincarnation is the whole cycle, the whole process. It's dying, it's going to the astral plane, unless you're very unfortunate and get stuck near here. and then it's reincarnating and being born again. And so it's that whole, when I talk about reincarnation, I'm talking about the whole process. So here we have somebody that's at the end of the process, but she's stuck. She's somehow gotten stuck at the end of the process. But
you mean her vegetative state?
Right, but the point is that a person is not their body, first and foremost. The person is, again, layers of an onion, but for the purpose of convenience, we can say we can identify a person as their astral body, which is made of light and energy. Okay, and your astral body is right now animating your physical body, or it would be a piece of meat sitting there, it'd be a corpse. What the difference between your physical body being alive as you know it and it being a corpse is that the astral body is enlivening it. So this person's brain is not functioning properly. And the brain is an instrument which interfaces between the two levels. Okay, that's not the mind, but that's the organ through which the mind interfaces with the physical world, what I call a pass-through mechanism. So when the pass-through mechanism is damaged, the person cannot get through it. Now, when somebody is fully identified experientially in their experience with the physical body, they have to obey. Their experience has to conform to the state of the body. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so long as you're fully identified with it. When you get out of it, then you're not constrained by the state of the physical body. So whenever Terry Schiavo was in her physical body, she could only relate to people through that damaged brain. When she presumably got out of it, she was able to look down and was clear. This is my interpretation of this thing. I see her as being in and out, in and out. But she was never a vegetable at any point. You know, only her body was vegetative to some degree, to increasing degree, apparently. When she first started, apparently she was able to say some words, and
right.
It got worse. So, but this person apparently was hanging around, and, you know, I would guess that she was hanging around because her parents wouldn't let go. Otherwise, she would have left, and it wouldn't have been an issue. Which is not, I mean, it's just, you know, we love people, and we want to hang on to them, but the idea of starving her to death or letting her die of thirst, you know, when she's, you know, either in or out, hopefully, for her sake, I hope she stayed out during that period, you know, if she had control over it, which I don't know the extent.
I hope for her sake she did.
But it made me very nervous, the idea of starving a person to death, assuming that they were a vegetable because we identify her with her physical body.
You know, regardless of anybody's beliefs, religious or political, that was not a good thing, starving her to death.
I mean, either euthanize her or keeper.
Right, we could talk about that for a whole nother show. But Stephen Sakellaris, I want to thank you once again for being on the show in this extended time on reincarnation. Please hold. Don't go away. I want to get your website out there one more time. The film is called In Another Life. It's available on the website www.ial.goldthread.com. And that'll be on my page on the website, too, also with Carol Bowman's website, which is www.childpastlives.org. And she was a big inspiration on the work of Stephen. But Stephen, thank you again. Gary Mance, what can one say for what you've been bringing to this show? You enjoy the weekend. Well deserved. Excellent job, as always. This is The Lou Pate Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.